standing up for what's right. Lars Larson, weeknights 6 to 9 on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
So one of the most contentious issues in the country right now is gun control, gun restrictions. What to do about gun violence? We've been talking about this for quite some time. A great deal of substance, not just emotion. And the issue is boiling down to three major points. Point number, or goal number one, try and abolish what are called military-style assault weapons like the AR-15. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen at the state level. I don't think it's going to happen at the federal level. The second is we need to limit these high-capacity magazines, which are, you know, gun clips. I don't think that's going anywhere either. The third issue, which appears to be getting some traction, both locally and nationally, is the issue of background checks. Background checks are gaining in support for a few reasons. First of all, we already have them for federally licensed dealers, and most people are glad we have them. They sometimes prevent the wrong people from getting guns. And the system has worked without any undue infringement on people's Second Amendment rights. There was a 5-day waiting period that accompanied the background check, but that's been replaced now with the InstaCheck system. Secondly, even supporters of the Second Amendment understand the utility, the benefit of background checks. For instance, if you want to go to a gun show in Washington State, sponsored by the Washington Arms Collectors, well, you have to have a background check. Otherwise, you can't even get in. So they are looking at both the federal and state level of expanding background checks to what they call universal background checks, which would mean that not only that private sales of guns would be subject to the same instant federal background check that you undergo when you walk into a gun shop and buy a firearm. It's being called a loophole that needs to be plugged. And the concern there is that it would be an undue inconvenience on a lot of people. And secondly, it wouldn't really solve the problem because criminals aren't going to be going around and buying guns from reputable people anyway. And thirdly, it might be used as the starting point for a federal database, a registry of handguns. So there's a very contentious hearing yesterday in Olympia. Dave Workman, former NRA board member and with the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, you were there, correct?
Yeah, I was down there covering it for the Gun Mag, which I'm senior editor of, and for Examiner.com. I read a daily column for them on gun rights and local firearms issues. Mm-hmm. And it was, you're right, contentious is a pretty good word. The witness list was longer than they had time to allow for public testimony. There were a couple of people who testified in support of the thing. Well, more than a couple. In fact, there were several. And there were several people who testified against Brian Judy from the National Rifle Association, Alan Gottlieb, who is chairman of the Citizens Committee here in Bellevue. Mm-hmm. Both went down to testify against it. There are some significant problems with the bill, even as it's been rewritten now.
So what would this House Bill 1588 do?
Well, it seeks to establish what they call a universal background check, which I guess the translation of that in their minds, in the minds of the sponsors, is that everybody who engages in any firearms transaction whatsoever would be required to go through a background check. Now, you and I both know that that is a specious argument at best because, as you just said, leading up to this, criminals don't go through background checks to get their guns. They get them from other means. They steal them. They get them from friends and acquaintances. They buy them from fences or somebody who stole the gun.
Yeah.
They trade drugs for you. Any number of ways that they get a gun, and they don't go through a background check.
But the argument back to you on that would be, well, then, why have a background check for anything? Because if a criminal wouldn't walk into Wade's gun shop to buy a weapon, then why require Wade's gun shop to do a background check?
Well, that's a pretty good question. It's one I've asked myself over the years. I know that the idea of a background check is very popular. Most gun owners, from what I understand, depending on the poll you look at, support some kind of a background check.
Even the Washington Arms Collectors.
That's right, they do.
Has background check.
And in order to be a member of the Washington Arms Collectors and to actually make a gun transaction at a WAC gun show, you have to first go through a background check. Now, private non-members can come into those gun shows, but they can't buy firearms. They can buy flashlight batteries and pocket knives and all kinds of other stuff, but you just can't buy a firearm unless you're a member. So, theoretically, the background check has, I guess, stopped quite a few really stupid felons from trying to buy guns at gun shops, but very few of those people have ever been prosecuted. They just get turned down, and they walk out the door, and there's no further action taken on them.
Okay, now, they made some changes in the bill. They exempted concealed carry holders, license holders, from the background check, correct?
Yeah, that's because to get a CPL in this state or any other state, you already have to go through a background check. And the substitute bill was introduced just yesterday as the hearing was opening up. The people who did come to testify had come to testify against the original bill, which still had that requirement in there. And so a lot of the testimony, I think, yesterday was actually pretty well directed because people were saying, look, we don't need this, 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 and this. And to his credit, I think Jamie Peterson chaired that meeting.
State representative from Seattle, 43rd District,
right.
Seatmate of Ed Murray's, I believe.
He's a Democrat, and I think he ran a pretty fair and balanced meeting in there. Mike Hope was there, and he explained why he supports the measure, and some of the Republicans on the committee threw some pretty hard questions at the people who were proponents from the audience.
Now, they also said that records of background searches would be destroyed.
That's right. And that was one of the main sticking points. The concern with any of these pieces of legislation at the state or the federal level is that in the back door is sneaking a de facto gun registry. If you maintain those records for any length of time, there is always the potential for government abuse to create a secret.
There's only two reasons. Two reasons to have a government required registry.
That's right. To tax or to take.
So destroying that, I think, is important. So
and I'll tell you, my philosophy has always been that it's nobody's business how many guns I have or what kind of guns I have, and it's certainly none of the government's business.
Right. So with that said, is the legislation moving forward in the House and Senate?
Well, from what I understand, there is a companion bill in the Senate, but I don't know if it's been changed to reflect the changes in the substitute House measure. I'm going to check on that first thing this morning when those guys wake up down there. We'll find out where that's at. This may get a little traction because of the changes that have been made, and I know that after the hearing, Alan Gottlieb did have a chat with Mike Hope. I heard just little snippets of it because there were a lot of things going on, and I was taking notes. But I think that there is quite a bit of room for compromise and quite a bit of room for improvement in the bill. And I really think
the
proponents of the measure are going to listen.
Okay, we have people calling in. Do you have time to take a couple of phone calls?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's go out here to Mark in Marysville. Mark, you are on with John Carlson and Dave Workman, who covered yesterday's hearing in Olympia on the universal background check for gunmag.com. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for that, Dave Workman. I totally like and respect what you got to say. I'm a fat, middle-aged white guy. I am a member of WAC. I don't want to go any further than that. I'll just focus. There's a lot of issues here. Let me just focus on two. One is, Dave, on this whole thing with the NICS checks and the background checks, I'm going to tell you right now, me and my buddies, you know, we have guns that we bought at stores, and we've been NICS checked, and we've got a bunch of guns that we've traded and bought from our friends and family. And none of us, to a man, believes that this information is destroyed. We believe it resists. It'll stay. It'll be retained in the system. So we just don't believe this whole thing. Oh, the information will be destroyed. We believe that's a complete fabrication. Second thing, why are people so vehemently, I guess, angry with Mike Hope? Let me tell you why. He had an R by his name. He was endorsed by the NRA. And fat, middle-aged white guys like me said, hey, you know what? We just got to go with him. Now, he just seems like just another progressive tool of the left carrying out an agenda of which he's partially thought through, and he thinks he's being nice and cool and reasonable. And you know what? We're all just sitting there, what a blanking bleeping bleep, right?
Okay, let me ask both Mark and Dave Workman a question. Because when he was here on the show last week, Mike Hope, who we've invited back on again, and I hope we are able to get him tomorrow, said that about 200 or so firearms were stolen in the city of Seattle last year. But over 1,200 illegal guns were taken off of people who were arrested. He said, obviously, people are getting these weapons from more than just stealing them or buying them from someone who stole them. What is the response to Mike Hope on that point? We'll start with Dave Workman.
Well, I think that a lot of those guns are coming with the bad guys from wherever it is they're coming from. And in a lot of cases, too, first-time offenders, people who've never committed a crime before, and suddenly they wind up committing a crime and they're armed with a gun, they may have legally bought those. They may have acquired them from somebody, inherited them, gotten them from a family member. Who knows where they got them? At least one of them floating around out there came from the floor of the car that used to belong to Chief Kurlikowski.
Right.
So, you know, we don't know where the guns came from, and when you arrest a guy with a gun who shouldn't have one, he goes to jail.
Now, can someone just buy a gun off Craigslist?
No. Well, they're not supposed to be able to do that.
Legally, can I? Can I sell a gun on Craigslist, and can someone buy it from me, no questions asked?
Well, yeah, the way the law is right now, if you two are residents of the same state and you have an agreement online, say I got a gun for sale, and you know, say Joe Smith calls you up and says, well, I got the $600 that you want for it, how do you want to do this? And you can make a transaction like that. If it's a resident of another state, you have to go through a federally licensed firearms dealer to make sure that that gun gets from point A to point B.
Now, if this bill passes, if I want to sell my gun on Craigslist, I could do that, but I'd say, okay, I'll meet you in the parking lot at Wade's Gun Shop or some other gun shop.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go in there. You got to pass the instant background check, and it's going to cost you $20 extra. And once you pass that, then the gun is yours and the $600 is mine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way, theoretically, that's the way it's supposed to work.
And now, Mark in Marysville, I'll give you the last 30 seconds. Does that sound reasonable to you?
Well, it does and it doesn't, only from the standpoint that when you look at the actual number of gun crimes and murders with them,
mm-hmm.
Most are crime or gang related, for example, in big cities. If you just actually
yes.
look at the numbers.
And with pistols, not AR-15s. Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the question becomes, well, when you hear this weird statistic that sounds very brilliant and everything, my question is, okay, so 200 were illegal, 1,200 were legal. I don't quite follow that. I mean, criminals get guns because you can have a front guy who looks totally good, pass them didn't expect
yeah,
to
straw
buy the gun. And he's going to give him or sell him to whoever he wants. And that's illegal.
Guys, I tell you, Mark from Marysville, thanks again for calling and for listening, of course. Dave Workman, thanks as always.
Always a pleasure.
Joining me. We're again, as this issue continues, we're going to monitor it and we're going to follow it. We're going to report on it here to the people listening to Talk Radio 570 KVI.